We are certainly concerned about the loss of lives in Ukraine and families being relocated and such a tragic situation ongoing. And we would desire that both sides would come together and reason properly and come to a wonderful agreement to disband the fighting and make a proper settlement. That would be wonderful. As I record this Tuesday evening, wouldn't it be wonderful if by the time this airs on Sunday morning that the fighting was all over? Well, I don't really expect that, but I'm saying it would be wonderful, would it not? Well, what I wanted to do this morning was have a parallel here with a spiritual application. Yes, we would like to see people come together and reason properly. And so the most important aspect of our very being is to answer the call from God, the call to reason together. In other words, God's invitation for salvation. And so this is our study for this Lord's Day. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we all want to be doing just that, do we not? Well, yes, we should. And now, let me take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville as we come together in Bible class. We're studying the precious Word of God. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude in spirit, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern in truth. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. We love having visitors. And something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. If you're interested, certainly get in touch with us. And we're glad to answer Bible questions that you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are greatly appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now let's get into our study this morning, the call to reason together, God's invitation for salvation. And we'll start out with this question. Have you ever heard of someone falsely accusing God of being unfair because God brought the global flood during the days of Noah, which destroyed all of mankind except for 8 souls saved by water? Well, the problem here is, yes, I've heard people say that God is unfair, and probably most of you have as well. But what happens is man forgets how long God waited for mankind to repent while Noah was preaching and preparing the ark. That's right, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and according to Genesis 3:6, it was 120 years that Noah was preaching the word and giving people time to repent. So most people have never even considered what would have happened had God not destroyed all those people whose every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually, according to Genesis 6:5. And so once total wickedness took over the earth, there would be no faithful seed line for Christ to be born of the Virgin. Isaiah 7:14 fulfilled Matthew 1:23. Not only would there be no salvation for mankind, but no doubt with all of mankind only being evil continually. Think about that. Mankind would have eventually destroyed themselves. How can anyone using reason and logic conclude that God was unfair? Well, no one should is the point. Now let's ask this question. God is long-suffering. Yes, he is, but how long will God wait? Well, as you study the history of the Israelites, it will reveal clearly that God was long-suffering with his people generation after generation. Just as God is waiting today for those who are living in sin to obey the gospel. And as God waited in the days of Noah, for those 120 years, he's waiting today for those, yes, who are living in sin to obey the gospel. And he's waiting for those who have left the church to be restored. And so we need to appreciate that. Notice 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. Yes, God would have all men to be saved, of course. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. James 5:19-20, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That's the importance of converting one soul. And of course, getting brethren who have wandered away to return to the fold. In other words, to be restored. But again, how long will God wait for those who have left the church to return and those who have never obeyed the gospel to certainly do so before it is too late? Well, we don't know the answer to the question, how long will God wait? It's not for man to know. In Matthew 24, the words of Christ, verse 35 and 36, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And why do so many try to predict when Jesus will come again? They're deceived, and they're deceiving others. Sometimes many people fall for the false prophecies they make. But no man knows, not even the angels. Do we realize that we are not guaranteed another breath? James 4:13-15, notice, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So, as we go now to Isaiah chapter 1, we want to note that despite Judah and Jerusalem's sins, God offered forgiveness to those who would submit to the conditions. Now notice with me verses 18 and 19 of Isaiah 1. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And then verse 19. If, you see, here's the conditions. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So there's conditions here. But God is extending the invitation to come and let us reason together. And God would forgive them if they were willing to come together, first of all, and then submit to the will of God, obey God's commands. Now, as the Lord through Isaiah offered the people his invitation for their salvation, our Lord and Savior extends his invitation for salvation to all who are burdened with sins. And this is Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is meant by heavy laden? That's sin that we're carrying around if we haven't obeyed the gospel. And of course, that's a great labor, isn't it? But Jesus is willing to give us rest. But we have to do what? We have to take his yoke upon us and learn of him. That means submitting ourselves to the Lord's authority as we learn his will by studying the scriptures. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, notice that, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So in other words, if you hear the sayings of Christ, his doctrine, and do them, you're like that man that's building his house on the foundation of a rock, the rock of truth. But if we hear the sayings of Christ, yet we do not do them, we're like unto the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And we all know what happened when the floods came and the rains came. It fell. We don't want to be in that situation. That's Luke 6, 46 through 48. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's right. We've got to get our thinking properly aligned with the Word of God. And so we have to cast down those imaginations, the high things that would exalt against the knowledge of God. Get rid of that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:5. So let's be sure that we're ready to take on the yoke of Christ and learn of him. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Compared to the burden of sin, of course it is. And therefore, to reason together with God simply means to accept God's invitation for forgiveness of our sins by obeying the conditions which he has set forth. Obedience is required. It's not faith only. Let's not buy into that false teaching. The Bible certainly doesn't teach it. Notice how Isaiah prophesied, Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Isaiah 62:11. Well, the fulfillment was when Jesus, notice in John 12:12-15, made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. As we go now to John 12, beginning in verse 12, on the next day much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's authority, isn't it? And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. So, Jesus knew he would be the sacrificial lamb. So as we contemplate on reasoning together with God, accepting his invitation for the forgiveness of our sins, we need to appreciate that Jesus came into Jerusalem knowing what would happen. Yes, it was a triumphant entry, and certainly Jesus knew what Isaiah had prophesied in chapter 53, verse 7, that is led to the slaughter as the Lamb of God. Yes, there was no other way for us to have salvation from our sins. Acts 4:12 tells us clearly, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, no other authority under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's not many roads to heaven. That's false. There's one way, and that is John 14:6, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many ways are there to heaven? If we stay with the word of Christ, there's one way, and we better be seeking that way. And we need to appreciate the love of God. Notice also 1 John 5:11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. That's the love of God. Now notice in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's no in between here. We either have life through Christ or we don't have life, that is, in a spiritual sense. So let's appreciate, of course, the love of God. John 3:16, we all should know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what we all should desire. But we have to do it God's way. God extends the invitation, calls us to reason together. But we have to be willing and obedient, as Isaiah 1:19 tells us. For the Israelites, yes, but that's going to apply under the law of Christ today. Now let's ask this question. What causes people to be unreasonable? Have you ever encountered someone who would not listen to reason? Well, if we're honest with ourselves, would not all of us have to admit that we too at times have refused to listen to reason? Well, if we're going to be honest, I think we would all admit that, would we not? Yes, there's times where we're not reasonable. And when we come across others who are not reasonable, we, of course, may react in a frustrated way. But we're talking now about the most important area of our lives in which we are to be reasonable, and that is with our understanding of God's will, which is revealed in his Holy Bible. In Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Are we doing that? Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, we must have knowledge of the truth. In order to be wise, we're going to have to apply that knowledge of the truth. And this is spiritual understanding. Yes. So what causes people to be unreasonable in their thinking? Well, notice with me Acts 14, verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Now this is Paul and Barnabas preaching God's word. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected. This is what we're talking about. Why are people unreasonable in their thinking? Well, certainly one answer is their mind has been evil affected. Or we could put it another way, and that is their minds have been poisoned. You think about the most deadly poison, such as arsenic, cyanide, neurotoxic snake venom, or any other poison you can think of that affects our physical bodies, but it's the poison that affects our minds and our very souls that's the most dangerous. And clearly here, these unbelieving Jews were able to poison the minds of a number of the Gentiles, which resulted in a divided city. So at least temporarily, they lost their ability to reason correctly. They rejected the means of their salvation. So that's not a position we want to be in, is it? Well, of course not. But yet, how many people today are not accepting God's plan of salvation because their minds have been poisoned? Even though it may be well-meaning people, even loved ones, there are many ways for people's minds to be poisoned. And we don't have time to name them all, but here are some of the main areas with the time that we have left. I'll mention some of these. And first of all would be family members, parents, spouses, children, siblings, grandparents, aunts and uncles, whoever you want to name in the family. They have a major role in our worldview development, some more than others, obviously. Well, imagine being born into a family that's non-believers or Muslim, Jewish, or Catholic. That's going to have a bearing on how we view things, and we can still learn the truth and obey it because many have and come out of these situations. But you can understand for a Jew to learn the truth and become a Christian, their family would no doubt disown them for not honoring the Jewish festivities, feasts and so forth, I meant to say there. A Catholic family, they see their priest as the one to explain the Bible for them. And so many do not take the time to even study the Bible for themselves. So you see the influence there. So we need to understand family members can actually poison our minds. And we need, of course, to get rid of it. When we go to the Scriptures, we go with an open mind if we're going to learn the truth and have salvation through obedience. Another means of poisoning people's minds is false religious preachers and teachers who may be very nice people. They may be the most sincere person we know. But Jesus warned, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Matthew 7:15. That's right. Sheep's clothing, see, that's someone that's very likable, but they're dangerous. How do we know? We know by the Scriptures if they're teaching the truth or not, by the fruit that they're producing. Here's another means of poisoning people's minds: peer pressure. Our friends, co-workers, classmates, they have a big influence in our lives too. We all want to be acceptable in society, do we not? But we must put God first. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. Here's another means. The media. Of course, we spend much time watching TV, going to movies. And now you can watch them at home, of course. Radio, books, magazines, newspapers. Watching news, it depends on who's giving the so-called news. Are they giving it honestly and without bias? You know, these things have an influence on us. So let's compare how much time we spend studying God's Word with the time that we're under the media influences. That's something to take note of, isn't it? Well, of course it is. Here's another one. Higher education. Agnostic and atheistic professors pushing the general hypothesis of evolution as fact can be very intimidating to students. So we need to ask ourselves, are we preparing our children for this assault on their faith? You see, a lot of young people go off to college and return home unbelieving, losing their faith. This is something that's very obvious in our society, what's being taught in our schools. We should know this. And if we're not preparing our children and grandchildren, then what do we expect? That there's, well, we hope they're going to stay faithful, but we need to prepare them. Of course we do. And now you have homosexuality being promoted, transgenderism promoted, even in the lower grades. Are we aware of these things, or have we put our head in the sand? So you see how, again, these are, and we'll have to stop here, but these are ways for people's minds to be poisoned so they're not going to receive the truth, and the eternal soul is worth more than all the world, and we need to be preparing ourselves for eternity. And so we'll want to pick back up our study, Lord willing, next week. But as we close out our study this morning, again, we're emphasizing the call to reason together. God's invitation for salvation. Are we willing to listen to what God has to say? Are we willing then to obey what God would have us to do in order to be a child of His, to be a Christian? We have to hear the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. That's where it starts. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, John 8:24. Now, having believed, we're ready to repent, making a change of wills and do the will of God, turning around, turning away from a life of sin, going in a new direction. Luke 13:3-5. Now we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. This is stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made the good confession, that's unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Now we're ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Romans 6:3-5. We want to have that old man crucified with Christ, that body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we're not going to serve sin any longer as we come up out of that watery grave. And the Lord adds us to His body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful. And we thank You so much for listening today.